Dear congregation, the text words for the sermon on New Year Eve you'll find in Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply, or we could translate, cause to come our hearts unto wisdom. The theme for the sermon tonight is teach us to count our days. Teach us to count our days. Three thoughts. First, the foundation of life. The foundation of life. Second, the life lived. We look back last year, or longer, the life lived. And thirdly, we look to the future, the hope of life. So teach us to count our days, the foundation of life, the life lived, and the hope of life. So first, the foundation of life. New Year's Eve 2023. Another year is almost added to our lives. And it is a good practice on New Year's Eve to look back on that year that almost comes to an end. And on an evening like this, we take stock, right? What have been our experiences this last year? All kinds of experiences, right? In joy and in sorrow, in prosperity, in adversity. Taking stock, it is what companies do at the end of the year, right? Formally, December 31st, many companies take stock. They count their inventory. And they count their assets and their liabilities. They make a sum of their income and their expenses. And they count them and they list them. And they draw their financial statements, like the balance sheet and the profit and loss statement. And then they make all kinds of analysis. Why are there here these assets and liabilities? Why do we have so much inventory? Why is there a loss? Or maybe why is there a profit? All kinds of analysis. And they ask questions. What were the external influences on our business? How did we react to them? And how did we end up with this huge profit or loss or whatever? And all of that is written down in an annual statement. And that's how a company normally ends his book here. Well, Moses is doing something like that here in Psalm 90, the first 12 verses. Because tonight we are going over the first 12 verses of Psalm 90. And Moses is standing on a threshold, the threshold of eternity. He's an old man. And he looks back on his life, and especially the last 40 years there in the desert. And he counts, and he counts, and he counts. And he analyzes, and analyzes, and analyzes. And he sees many death, miseries. But on the other hand, he sees God's good hand carrying his people through the desert, despite their shortcomings and rebellions. And then He makes a kind of balance. Well, tonight we reflect on Psalm 90, the first 12 verses. And let us together take stock and count the days of 2023, but probably that's better, longer our life, and draw some conclusions. It begins amazing, Psalm 90. Just look to that introduction, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So clearly, Moses is the writer, the author of Psalm 90. And that's remarkable because, children, how many psalms are there from Moses? One, indeed. This is the only psalm written by Moses. And therefore, it is probably the oldest psalm we have in our book of Psalms. Moses is here an old man, 120 years old, and he stands at the foot of Mount Nebo. And he knows, I'm standing on the threshold. And he counts, Moses. But the psalm is, it says above it, a prayer. And that's also remarkable because just four psalms begin with that same word to state that they are a prayer. Psalm 86, only three psalms, by the way, only three. 86, 90, and 102. Only three psalms. And therefore, this psalm is distinguished from all the other psalms because Moses is the writer and it is a prayer. It is a lament because Moses looks back and he laments. At the same time, it is a supplication, a remarkable in the midst of that lament and supplication, it is a praise because of God's goodness. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Why is Moses called the man of God? Well, we come across more men of God in God's word, especially in the Old Testament, and they are mostly the prophets. Moses is called here the man of God because he is a prophet. When we think about a prophet, we oftentimes think, well, a prophet foretells the future. Well, you are mistaken. Of course, at times a prophet will give insight in the future. That's right. But the first task of a prophet, and every preacher should be a prophet, is give insight in our time, in our lives. What is going on from heaven's perspective? That's the task of a prophet. And this is precisely what Moses does in Psalm 90. He is a prophet. And he gives us insight in his time. But remarkable, these words are applicable also for us. Completely applicable. Back to Moses. A prayer of Moses, the man of God, 120 years old, at the end of the journey through the desert. And he looks back. What does he see? Horrors. Horrors. The whole generation that left Egypt passed away. Each one of them, but two, Joseph, Caleb, Joshua and Caleb, but two. All the others, all of them, 600,000 men only left Egypt. All of them but two died in the desert. When Moses looks back, he just sees one big cemetery. By the way, what do we see when we journey through life? When we leave the parsonage and we take the car and we travel here to Providence Reformed Church, we always pass several cemeteries. That's life. You see cemeteries all over. All these people who lived, they passed away and they met God. Well, that's the first thing that Moses sees, but he sees more. He knows why they passed away. He sees guilt, sin, rebellion, but especially because these are the people of God, the people of Israel, the covenant people. And what is their biggest sin? Indeed, unbelief. What is our biggest sin? Unbelief. Being a covenant people, bearing God's mark upon our forehead, having heard, "You are my son or daughter," and yet no faith. That's the biggest sin, and because of that sin of unbelief, they all died during that journey. None of them but two. They believed. None of them but two entered into the land of milk and honey, Canaan. And Moses, but we hope to hear that tomorrow morning, the Lord willing, at the end of the psalm, sees a younger generation, and he has hope for them because he knows who God is. When he looks back, indeed, he sees sin, iniquity, shortcoming, rebellion, but he also sees God's everlasting arms underneath the words of Isaiah, right? Under the people of Israel. And he has hope, a firm hope for the next generation. But that tomorrow morning, Moses. You feel here in this psalm that he is moved. Moved by all that sin and misery. And there is his own sin and his own misery. Life isn't always easy. Young people, ask older people, ask your father and mother, but especially if you have grandparents, ask them. Grandma, grandpa, tell me, how was your life? If it is a God-fearing grandpa or grandma, they will tell you, the Lord was so good for me, but I sinned. It was misery. And they will tell you, seek the Lord. Well, it's what Moses does. It's what he sees. I think, of course it's not written here. He writes this psalm with tears in his eyes and sees the younger generation and is moved with them. And therefore he tells them, look to life, look to all the cemeteries. That's life. But the Lord is so good. Seek him and live. But at New Year's Eve, right, we live in the New Testamentic times. We may know that there is a greater Moses, superior Moses. There's Christ. Oh, there is compassion with Moses as the mediator of the people of Israel. He is one of them. You hear him say, us, we. But we know of that far greater mediator, Jesus the Messiah. And he sits at God's right hand. And he intercedes. And he says, Father, we, because he and everyone that believes in him is one with him. And he intercedes for all that are given by the Father to him, a never-ending prayer. And he upholds them. He reigns. He is the Almighty One. We may know of him, how privileged we are, that greater mode. Well, but let's go over the prayer itself. It begins with a simple word. I hope that when you look back, 2023, that this is the first thing or name that comes to your mind. Lord. Lord Adonai. My Master. My God who reigns with sovereign power and strength. Adonai. Lord. Moses betrays here what is hidden in the recesses, the deep recesses of his heart, namely that faith that God, the God of Israel, is his God. And that God carried him 120 years. And that God helped him. Lord, Adonai, God, your omnipotence. He continues, thou hast been always, no exception, our dwelling place in all generations. Our dwelling place. That word used there is normally used for a den of a wild animal. Why? Because the den of a wild animal is a place of safety and security for that wild animal. And here he says, thou hast been our, not only mine, but our dwelling place, abode, safety, security. Thou art my refuge. My all in all, with thee, I am safe, whatever happens in life. And you feel his personal experience. Moses used, right, the same words in Deuteronomy, where he says that well-known text, right, the eternal God is thy refuge. And we hear these words again, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So for Moses, God is his dwelling place. And he looks around and he says, do you know, Israel, younger generation, all who are listening, God is our refuge. Do you hear the space there? He takes the whole people of Israel with him. God is our abode. Actually, Christ is our dwelling place. At least I hope so. We hear Isaiah in 32 verse 2. And a man, and that man is the Christ, a man shall be as a hiding place, the same word, a dwelling place, an abode, a safe and secure place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. And Isaiah speaks prophetically of the Christ, the King of righteousness. He or she who takes refuge in his blood once has an eternal hiding place and a shelter. Whatever will happen in 2024 and maybe after, with Christ as your refuge and dwelling place, you are safe and secure whatever happens. And you will travel your way in 2024 with certainty, no matter what you experience and how life goes. He is a dwelling place. But Moses, he climbs, as it were, from one height to another height in this psalm, because he adds in all generations. We read, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In other words, not only for me, not only for us the last 40 years, but also for my grandma and pa, for my great-grandparents, and for the previous generation. And it even goes back to Adam and Eve. The Lord is so willing and so wanting to be the safe hiding place and the shelter for sinners and people in the midst of misery because of their sins in all generations. We are a people of the day. We come and we go. We change our mind. One day there is faith, and the other day our faith is almost gone. One day we live for God. We are full of Him. And the next way, that indwelling sin is so strong, and there might even be aversion against serving God. But that God is always the same, and always a refuge for people in need. Always. Verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, before God created the Rocky Mountains and the Alps and Himalaya, all these mighty mountain ranges, before He created them, just with one word, He was already that God, the same God. What a God that God is. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting, there is no end. And then it ends, thou art God. God is always the same. Thou art God. And again, you feel Moses' heart. Thou art God. I'm not my God. I don't have an idol that I worship. I worship the one true God, my Creator, who even in spite of my shortcomings and sins has so much patience and forgives and forgives and forgives. Thou art God. He is full of God's one-sided compassion. What a jubilation right here on New Year Eve. Is there this jubilation in your heart? New Year Eve 2023. Thou art God. Thou art my God. In Christ, thy Son is my refuge, my place of safety and my shelter. He has been such for my whole life, for all generations. And even I knows Him. You know, when Moses looks back, he sees that balance sheet, right? And that balance sheet starts with one asset. His eye is fixed on that one asset. God. It's written there with capital letters. You are my Son. I am your God. He just sees there the Messiah, Christ. And that's what catches his eye. Thou art God. That's his asset. And the other side of the balance sheet? Sins, iniquities, rebellions. Just that one post. God, your God. And then that long list of sins. But his eye is catched by this one phrase. God, my God. Well, let's move on to the second thought, the life lived. Moses saw that first asset, right? It's just one asset there, God, and his compassion, his word, his patience, his son. But then he moves on to the other side of the balance sheet because there's so much there. And he begins to count and to evaluate what he sees there. And he looks back, and what does he see? First of all, these last 40 years, it was just one great funeral. That was the desert journey. One great funeral. And he writes, verse 3, thou turnest. It was God who took all these lives. Thou turnest men to destruction. And the Hebrew word there you could translate as, it is a verb, right? To destruction. It's derived from a verb. You could translate it as pounded into pulp. Pulverized. With a pestle and a mortar. Pulverized. In other words, it says, thou turnest man to dust. Genesis 3, right? Thou art dust. And unto dust thou shalt return. And so we hear in Psalm 89, remember, Lord, how short my time is. Lord, wherefore hast thou made man in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Only by Christ. And therefore, Moses again sees that one asset. I am your God in the Messiah, in Christ. But in the meantime, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, right, that's the message that goes with it. Return to me. Come to me. Ye children of man, come to me. I'm a God of compassion. I repent. I turn to you when you return to me. Return, you children of man. He continues to write, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. Sometimes there are these periods in our life, especially when we are younger, that even, you know, minutes can feel as years. And a vacation might feel as 1,000 years. But more often in life, it flies by. Especially when we are older, we experience that time has flown by. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. For God, 1,000 years is like yesterday already gone, a day and already a day that passed by. For God, it is even shorter. We read, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. What is a watch in the night? Just 4 hours. Just 4 hours is a vigil in the night. And for God, 1,000 years is just as a vigil. But God is the same. Thou art my God. He continues, 5 and 6. Thou carriest man, right, away as with a flood. They are as asleep all these years. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. And wither. It is, first of all, that picture of the desert in Israel. Some of us have visited Israel. Well, you have seen the desert there. But you have seen it in a dry period. You probably have never seen it in March or April. Well, I'll tell you a little bit later about it. But that desert, first of all, that picture of that desert. And you know that in the desert there are wadis. And normally they are dry. But just in, you know, a couple of minutes, such a dry wadi can be filled up with water. And it runs through that wadi, that dry riverbed, like a wall. And it takes away everything that stands in the way. Even nowadays, every year, people fall victim to sudden floods in the desert because that these wadis are suddenly filled. Well, says Moses, thou carriest them away as with a flood. That picture of that sudden flood in the desert, and sudden that life is taken. Gone. Over. He continues. They are as asleep, right? Asleep, we are unconscious. Well, life is as asleep. Ask the older people. It just flies. It's like, well, it was like asleep. Did I live? What did I do? Well, that's life, as asleep. He continues another picture, and now I come back to the desert in March and April. In the morning, they are like grass, or you could translate greenery, flowers, which groweth up. And he means in March and April, the rainy period in the desert. And it's amazing. That desert that is always brown in April and March and April, in the morning, because of the dew of the night, and the low temperatures and the high humidity, it is green. And then sometimes it rains. And during the day, you see flowers coming. And these brown and barren hills are covered with green. And the most amazing colors, all kinds of flowers. The desert can be so beautiful. Well, he says, in the morning, they are like that grass that grows. In the morning, it flourisheth. And we see all these flowers coming up with all these colors and groweth up. But in the evening, because the sun scorched everything and the Chamsim came, that is the hot eastern wind, and at the end of the day, it is all withereth. There is nothing left from all that green and all these flowers. It was just for one day, and it waits for another day. Well, that's the picture in 5b and 6. Well, that's life. Moses says life is so short. You are born, and you grow up like that grass in the morning. You're green, small. You come to your adulthood, And then life only is productive, right? From your adulthood of. But how long is life productive? Just a couple of hours, like these flowers in the middle of the day. But then the sun becomes scorching hot and it burns away these flowers. And we grow older, 60, 70, and we stop working, and 80, 90, and we leave this life. Life is so short. And our productive time in life is even shorter. Young people, how important the choices you make and the time you spend. Life is so short. Ask the older people. Ask Moses, the man of God. Ask Christ. Life is so short. It matters what you do and the choices you make. You can do it again. The time past is time past. Lord, what wilt thou to do me? But all that time, God was the same. And he is that shelter. Thou art God. But of course, it raises questions, right? Probably even the children among us know the story. But why? Why did so many people, these 40 years in the desert, pass away? Why? Why did so many people die? Almost 600,000, but two. 599,998. It's amazing. 599,998 men only lost their lives. Why? Why? Well, we know the story, right? You can read it at home. Numbers 13 to 15. They give you the answer. Moses writes about it in verse 7, and there he gives his reason, right? We are consumed. That's why we die. Keep it in mind. We all die. Why? It says there, we are consumed by thine anger. It is because we are sinners. Death is not part of life. It is part of fallen life and sinful life. It wasn't meant to be. We are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath. Are we troubled? Oh, we remember that story, right? Numbers 13 to 15. God had led the people out of Egypt with a mighty hand. What a good-doing God. And he brought them in no time, in a couple of weeks, at the border of Canaan. And then 12 spies are sent out to Canaan's land, that land overflowing with milk and honey, to see what is there. 10 of them report the following thing. 10 out of the 12. We are not able to go up against the people. They are giants. They have strong cities. They are stronger than we. In other words, there is no faith that God can do the impossible. Imagine just a couple of weeks ago, right? God had performed 10 miracles and clearly shown that he can do the impossible. And such a short period later, they are too strong. I can't fight the temptations in the world and the indwelling sins. Just forget it. No faith. Only Joshua and Caleb, there is faith. And they report, if the Lord delight in us, that's the whole matter, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Show faith. Do not rebel. Do not go against his clear commandments. And what is his clear commandment for us? Believe in my Son. Serve me and love me above all. That's his clear command. Do not go against. Neither fear ye the people of the land, Joshua and Caleb continue. For they are bread to us. The Lord will turn them into bread makers. Amazing, right? Their defense is departed from them. The Lord took it away. And the Lord is with us, Emmanuel, in Christ. Fear not. Numbers 14, 8 and 9. They looked back. They counted their days. Let us not only count our days at New Year's Eve. Let's do it often and see God's hand in your life. The life of your father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, previous generations in history. Just see God's hand and his power and strength and the gift of his son. They looked back, Joshua and Caleb, and they knew God is a God of his word. And what he promises, he will fulfill. His name is I Am Who I Am. However, the people of Israel, they listened to these 10 spies and they began to grumble. Why does God bring us here? Why are there these giants? If we only were still in Egypt, it was a miserable time, but we had at least our food every day and a bed to sleep. But then God punishes the people. And we hear him. How long will this people provoke me? How long will they provoke me in providence because they don't believe in me? How long will they provoke me because they don't put their trust in Jesus Christ? How long will he or she provoke me by not believing in me and trusting my promises? And the punishment there is terrible. They have to spend 40 years in the desert. A year for every day that the spies spend in the land of Canaan. 40 days spy, they did their spy work. 40 years they will travel through the desert. And the entire Exodus generation would die. And so we hear Moses in verse 9. All our days are passed away in darkness. We spend our years as a till that is tall. But Moses knows why. Verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. It are our sins, our secret sins in the light of every countenance. Everyone that passed away there in the desert was a message from God. You are a sinner. Repent. And I will help you. I will be your savior and your refuge. Every time that somebody passes away, we hear that message. What about you? What about you? 600,000 men lost their lives in 40 years. 600,000 times the question was, what about you? Do you believe in me? I am here. Repent and I will return to you. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. With every one that passed away. Our secret sins. Let's not make a mistake. God sees everything. We all have our hidden sins, right? God knows them. It's actually a stupid expression. Hidden sins. There are no hidden sins. There are not. God sees everything. He knows your thoughts. Just admit them and confess them. Repent and flee to him, and he will show himself a God full of compassion. He will forgive every time you flee to him, even if you sin 70 times or 70 times 70 times. God is never tired. He's always the same. But God must punish sin. Let's make no mistake. He's righteous. He will uphold the righteousness. He will punish sin always. What a mirror, right? Moses holds up here tonight, New Year's Eve 2023. Are we different from all these moribund people there in the desert? Are we different? We are not. We are the same. We are oftentimes so afraid to lose what we have and just to trust Christ and the triune God and to leave my life in his hands. Lord, whatever thou want, it is good. Stop working. Confess your rebellion and trust God. That's the message on New Year's Eve. Count your days. How difficult it is, right? It's that first original sin, right? To be as God. To take the things in our own hands. To reason. No. Put your hands on God's word. On New Year's Eve 2023, Lord, here I am. But sin leads to death. Verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years. Maybe you will reach the age of 70 years. Okay. Maybe because you are strong, you will reach 80. Well, ask someone who is 80. Their strength, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. That's life. It is soon cut off. What's the difference, actually, between 50, 60, 70, or 80? In God's eyes, it's like a watch. A vigil in the night. 4 hours. That's it. It's like the day of yesterday. It's like a sleep. What matters is who is God. Well, before we shortly go over the third thought, let us move to the third thought. Let us sing Psalter 245, 245, and we'll sing the last two stanzas, 4 and 5. Psalm 90, Psalter 245, stanzas 4 and 5.
Thank you.
Moses looks back. He counts. Remember. With all these experience of sin and misery and contrast, right, he began with that asset on his balance sheet. God is our God. He is full of compassion. And then he moved to the other side of that balance sheet. Oh, what a shortcomings and sin and a misery and the wrath of God. But his compassion is greater. His grace is far outreaches our sins by far. But Moses, he has come at the end of his counting and looking back. And he writes in verse 11, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger?" Do you know the power of God's anger? God is a righteous God. He is angry with you because of your sin. He's angry with me because of my sin. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Oh dear young people, please do not wait. Don't leave 2023 before coming to terms with God's wrath. Please do not wait. Flee to God and wrestle with that God of wrath. Because what you will see and experience when you begin to wrestle with that God of wrath, that he has so much compassion. His compassion far outreaches his wrath because of Christ who died at Calvary's cross. And he took away God's wrath. Wrestle with that God in the name of Jesus and find that grace, compassion is left with him in abundance. We know of Jonah, right? He traveled to Nineveh. And he cried out, "Repent, repent, because God will turn your city and your lives. He's a wrathful God." They began wrestling with that God. And they cried out, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent?" Well, it's not a maybe. He will. And they continue, "Maybe he will turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not." And then we continue to read in that book, small book of Jonah. The next verse, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way." Therefore, don't wait. There's one more chance in 2023 to turn to God and to flee to him and to repent and to find him as such a wonderful, miraculous, great God. It says in Jonah 3 verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil. That boy and that girl there, sitting there in Providence Reformed Church, he saw that he or she turned to him. New Year's Eve 2023. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did not. He will save your life, surely. You know why God could repent? How is it possible that a righteous God will repent when we repent? Because he himself provided a way out of our misery, our slavery, our bondage to sin, our weakness. He provided a way out by giving his son. Just amazing. Consider this thing, right, that God gives his own son, places him in the midst of our misery, makes him like us, accept the sin. And then that son voluntarily carries your sin to Calvary's cross. Voluntarily, because we are sinners, suffers. Cries out, Lord, this cup, I can drink it, I will. If you want me to do so, I will. But even for him, it was an almost impossible task. But he trusted his father, and he followed his father, and he drank that cup of our sin and God's wrath on our sin unto the last drop. And therefore, right, we can't sin anymore. Can we sin? We can't. Because Christ emptied the cup of our sin, how can we add another drop of sin to that cup? Oh, it matters how we live. But because that God provided a way out by giving his son, he repents. He repents. You can be sure of that. Oh, Moses, he continues, verse 12, the last verse we consider tonight. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to number, to count our days, that it may be every day a new year's eve, not only once a year, not one of the 365 days. Teach us to count. Why? Because with that counting, you make an evaluation. And with counting, looking back, what do you see? First of all, that asset there, right? Christ, I gave my life at Calvary's cross for you. Turn to me and repent. Believe in me, your Savior. And then you turn to that other side of the balance sheet. Oh, and you see your sins. And you wrestle with it. You confess it. You bring it to God and to Christ. You put it there at the feet of Calvary's cross. And you plead with God. God, you have written, you have promised. Therefore, teach us to count our days, that we may apply our hearts unto thee, that we may receive wise hearts. Again, young people, right? There are many young people among us. Do you have a wise heart? Moses means that you make the right decision tonight. The decision to confess your sins, not to wait any longer. The decision to count on Jesus as your asset and to follow him from now on. That's a wise heart. Do you have such a wise heart? Ask your parents to pray with you. Ask them how the Lord works in their hearts. Ask your grandpa and ma. Ask them to tell them what the Lord did in their life, to help you counting their stories. What the Lord did in their life can help you. Ask them. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Who is that Christ and gave his life voluntarily at Calvary's cross for such a sinner, who is he after the counting tonight for you? Who? Is he your asset? Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, life is so serious. It's such a seriously matter. Lord, we can't live upright, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest that we are sinners, and even after having received grace, there is that indwelling sin, and even at times aversion against thee. Lord, when we count, and we did so tonight, we see these long lists. We have heard tonight, Lord, that thou gavest thy son the great Moses. Oh, Lord, please, give us thy Holy Spirit, that he may gift us with that Hebrew regeneration. Lord, teach us to wrestle with thee. Fill us with thy Spirit, that he may guide us, sanctify us. Lord, we ask thee to give us a blessed night, and to help us tonight when we leave 2023 and hope to enter 2024. We ask thee, Lord, to bring us back here tomorrow morning, that we may begin the year of 2024 with thee in thy house, listening to thy word, hearing thy will for us. Hear our prayer. In the name of thy Son, be the after preacher with thy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing a Psalter. No, I forget one thing before, and that's important at New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve, it is a good custom to meditate in a moment of silence on the shortness and of life, and remember those who passed away before us a little bit shorter or a longer time ago, and maybe also recognize in a moment of silence, meditating upon these things, the good hand of the Lord. Let us be silent for a moment. Let us sing now Psalter 281, Psalm 103, after this moment of silence. And we'll sing the first three stanzas of Psalter 281. lift up your hearts to God one more time in 2023 to receive his blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.